Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and also we'll share just a little bit in Genesis chapter 2 as well. And the kids that are going to Nursery Children's Church, just follow right along, right over here. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then the scriptures continue to cover the creation story, and then to chapter 2. Verse 10. Verse 9. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The word of God for the people of God. In this story, the tree of life never has a prohibition placed on Adam or Eve or anyone. The tree of life is there and available, yet they choose of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit that comes from that tree. And that fruit becomes disobedience. Disobedience is the sin of man that separates him from walking daily with God. And it's just the same today. If we're disobedient to the Lord, we're choosing to walk out of the presence of God and in our own understanding. Talk about creation. Some people will post pictures on Facebook and other places, or I've seen on RV shows and things where someone says, "We always go to a sunset, you know, after we pull in and watch sunrises," and those things are beautiful, aren't they? Typically, I'm in awe of God's creation. I am. But sunsets and sunrises don't do it for me. I mean, in terms of that's the be and end all of what God's creation is all about. No. I'm not strangely moved in that moment, or warmly moved closer to Christ because of it. No. In fact, there's lots of other beautiful things in the world that sceneries and things like that move me. But I'll be honest with you, the thing that moves me the most is just being in the presence of God and knowing the presence of God is close by. I'm going to say this. I'm going to lift you up a little bit. Seeing you here today is more beautiful to me than a sunrise or a sunset. And when I see people moved in faith to follow Jesus Christ, that is a more beautiful scene than a sunrise or a sunset. Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey are in this movie, actors playing parts. One was playing more or less an atheist, another was playing a faithful person, and however they defined it in the movie Contact. You can look it up, you can watch it if you want to. And in this movie, one of the scenes is at the beginning where Jodie Foster is playing the character as a young girl or teenager, and she's looking through a telescope out into space. And as she's looking out of space, it pans away, showing that the Earth is moving away and getting smaller and smaller, and past the moon, past the solar system, out into the past the Milky Way, into the galaxy, and then to multiple galaxies, and on and on, to even where that just seems to get small. And then all of a sudden, all that wonder comes back. Not really back, but comes in and focuses as her eye. And there's kind of an illusion in that point that somehow man is the creator. That if you go searching far enough and far along, that all you'll do is find yourself, find human beings. But that is not what the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures tell us that God is creator. Nothing else creates. Now we may be creative. We may discover things. We may put our minds together and understand math and science and discover things and are able to be creative in that sense. But we haven't formed anything that has come from nothing. And so that's kind of where our world is today, is we've begun to just think that God does not exist, and that we are the ones who have kind of formed everything. Or we haven't given it too much thought. People will say, well, the Big Bang has brought things into existence. Or they'll say things as, well, I guess the universe has blessed me. And the universe doesn't do anything. The universe has no emotion. The universe has no thought any more than the water in this bottle has any thought or care for any one of us. It is God who creates, who has brought His thought, His imagination, and His love and forgiveness to you and me. And where does the stuff come from to make the Big Bang? That is God, folks. And the Scriptures don't tell us how long this time was in creation. This story that tells us of Adam and Eve, it doesn't tell us that they were for millions of years in this garden. It just tells us how they eventually, from walking with God, communicating with God, a closeness to God, a perfection with God, that they chose disobedience and then were cast out the Garden of Eden. Will Willimon famous UMC bishop of the North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church and professor at Duke Divinity School, and I believe dean there at one point. And he's talking about the existence of God. What if God just put out into the space and all the stars, and he put the stars in such a point that he could just show and write out the words as we look up from Earth and see, I really exist. Well, even then, the knowledge that God is creator, it has to go beyond that. It has to go to the point that God, not just that we understand that God exists, but it's that God loves us, that God has forgiven us, that God has righted our broken relationship with Him. You see, there's two creation stories in the Bible. Now, I've had some professors say, well, there's two in Genesis. That's okay. It's just a way of looking at the story of creation. But there's a second creation story. And that second creation story is in the Gospels. And it's through the birth of Jesus and how He becomes the tree of life for humanity, for all of us. As He hung on the cross itself is the tree of life. You don't see the fruit of that, do you? There's no fruit that's hanging there that you can eat or partake of. It is the body and blood of Jesus that we will partake of today. That is the fruit that when we partake of it, symbolizes, is the means of grace for us in which we receive in that new creation, what God meant for us all along, to choose the tree of life. What God meant for Adam and Eve, to choose the tree of life, yet they did not. When I was in a church in Lafayette First UMC in Walker County near Chattanooga, that's why we're somewhat at ease where Sarah is living in Chattanooga, because her best friend lives there in Walker County, just right across the border. And the representative, Jane Neal, that I knew there, he invited me to come to a legislative session. And so he was able to get me into the state house, state capitol, and I sat on the front row off to the right, and right in front of him and several other legislators right behind him, and he kind of shared a little bit about what's going on throughout the day. It was pretty impressive and pretty neat to be a part of. And at one point he said, John, if you're thirsty or hungry, you can go get you something right outside there. I said, okay, I will. Well, I had noticed a lot of people were going to this certain area. And I thought, well, I guess that's where it's at. And so I went and walked. And as soon as I got to the area, two fairly big gentlemen stood in front of me and went, this area is restricted, and it's for legislators only. And I went, oh, okay. I'd gone to the wrong place. He had meant for me to go step outside where there was some just outside and get some water or a little snack or something for this during this legislative session. I didn't have access to where only the legislators could go. You see, in this story, the tree of life is in that second story where it has been prohibited for us since Adam and Eve partook of the the tree, the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and disobedience to God, it was prevented from us from partaking in the tree of life. The Garden of Eden, it was prevented from man going back to it. And it's only because of the love of God and His creative spirit and His creation to provide a way that once was impossible, God has made possible. He has given us access to Himself once again. And everybody gets to choose. Whether people think they're choosing or not, everyone on this earth gets to choose to have access to God once again, or to continue in disobedience. Even good people go to hell, folks, because it's not based on our goodness. There is no one good but God. Isn't that right? No one good but God. That means perfect. We only claim His righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now, put us forth to doing good, O Heavenly Father. Put us forth to showing compassion to others. Put us forth to doing these things because You have given us access and we want to live for You. Forgive us where we stray from that path. Forgive us where we have done wrong in Your eyes. Even as a church, even as a family, even as individuals, put us forth to doing what is good. God has given us access to His love. Think about this. What has He given us access to? To His love, holy love, folks. To His forgiveness. To His righteousness. He's given us access to all the gifts of the Spirit that He can share with us. Different ones with different gifts of the Spirit, of gentleness, of kindness of heart. The different talents that He's given you to express the goodness of God's love. And God can give you opportunities even in strange places and strange ways. I bet that lady's in church today. I hope she is. Maybe she was already a churchgoer. And she's gone to church today to testify that God saved her eternally and saved her in the here and now. God has given us access to the tree of life. And this is His greatest creation for His greatest work, you. I invite you now, if you would, turn in your hymnals to page 12.